Welcome back to a long overdue episode of the Be Better podcast. I'm back, and so is Coach Gabby.
We're back.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hanging in there?
Can't complain too much. How about you?
Well, you know, still up north. Here since March, isolating, and it's not a quarantine necessarily, but it's, you know, staying away from everybody. And it's worked.
Yeah.
It's worked. No one's been sick. And
good.
So I think it's paid off. Plus, we've been keeping busy up here. But, I miss everybody. I miss seeing you. I miss seeing athletes. I miss going to races. I miss going to events and teaching. It's a lot of stuff. It's like I didn't realize how busy summers were until you have it all taken away.
I know. And you're sitting still and you're wondering, now what?
I know.
But you've been doing quite a bit of home renovation, it looks like, up there.
Well, yeah, so not necessarily renovation. I have been building a bunkhouse. It's a 1,000-square-foot building that is essentially three rooms, a bunkhouse room, so a livable space, a bathroom, full bath, and a workshop. And yeah, we're about 99% done with it. And the kids are sleeping out there now, and it's been a nice fulfilling project, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do once it's done, because it's been occupying the vast majority of my time, which is pretty good. So,
wow.
I know.
That is a big undertaking.
It is. It's kind of a legacy builder.
And how are the kids handling all of this? They're probably actually really enjoying being up north.
You know, they kind of are. They're itchy to get back to school. And for them, school starts August 31st. So they're actually going to go back to in-person school. Because they are going back. Yeah, they are in a very small little school attached to our church. And so they will, they'll be going back. We had a little Skype technology meeting today, so they got to know what the rules are about their little laptops that they bring home. And, you know, they can't watch YouTube while at school and all this kind of good stuff. But yeah, they're excited. And you know, London's, I think she's the most excited because she's been having nothing to do up here with anybody her age. And so I find her wandering around the yard. She wandered into the neighbor's house one day. Just walked right in.
Oops.
Just walked right in.
Hi.
You know.
Oh, boy.
I know. So what about you? How are you and how you were in K3PO keeping along? You guys training a ton, and what's an average week for you?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think we've been riding the Corona coaster like everyone else. Some days you kind of forget that you're in the middle of a pandemic and everything feels normal and you're in your little bubble. And then other days you realize, oh, there is a global pandemic going on, and you get kind of depressed and, you know, life's changing. Life's very different at the moment. But I mean, we're back here in North Oaks and it's our little oasis and we can kind of live in our bubble and have been biking and swimming and still training a lot, but just not having any races on the calendar, which is very different being here all summer long. But our dog loves it.
Yeah.
Zoe loves it. So I think we're making the best of the situation.
Well, that's good. You haven't participated in any of the, because we've had a couple of smaller local events that have gone on over the past couple weeks. There've been some time trials that were going on late summer too as well. And I saw that Twin Cities in Motion, the Twin Cities Marathon Company, is going to have a series of what they call the My 250s, which are running races that are 250 people or less. So some of those will be coming back online. You haven't dipped your toes into any of that?
I haven't. I've chosen not to just at this time. I'm just kind of taking it as a time to rebuild and focus on myself a little bit. And, I may in the fall, but I mean, for right now, I'm content just building and trying to keep, you know, athletes on a good page and keep positive. And yeah,
which has been hard
at the moment.
It's been hard. I mean, athletes that are you know, don't see any races. They saw races, they held out hope, and then things, you know, were like, especially with Wisconsin, we got canceled, and you know, which is a big one for us up here. It just seems that it's getting harder and harder every day. But hopefully, you know, the things are starting to get to a point where, like, we are getting to a close point where it's almost the quote unquote end of the season, because Nationals would have happened. You know, Kona and Wisconsin are coming up in a month or so, and naturally people would be kind of winding down. But hopefully, this will be a time when people kind of start saying, okay, let's get ready for 2021, because 2020 has been a complete bust.
Yeah, and I think what I've been working on for myself, and what I've been trying to work with my athletes on, is just, you know, learning to accept the situation that we're in for what it is, and everyone is in the same boat. It's very hard for an individual who is very externally motivated, which a lot of athletes are, which is what those races are so good for. They bring out the best in people. They motivate them to get out the door and train. And when that's not around, it can feel like training is pointless and there's nothing to work for.
Yeah.
But I think it's more so just grasping the idea of, you know, using this year to build yourself up. All your training that you do this year will not go wasted for next year. It's only going to make you better next year. In fact, a lot of the top runners are seeing PRs right now because they've had weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of consistent training without any races thrown in there.
Yeah.
So you can actually get a lot out of this time, and it can be a really positive time, but it's hard to see that when you don't see necessarily those races on the calendar to mark your improvement or little things. But I think it can be a great time for people to just, you know, really focus on themselves and not have a lot of outside noise, which can be, I think, really great. But it's hard for those externally motivated people.
I totally agree with you. I think that it's, you know, there has to be something for a lot of people to keep them going. Just in, mm-hmm. you know, focusing on yourself and getting better. That's not everybody. I would say that's not the majority of the athletes out there, but it is something definitely you try and talk to them and work with them about. The other thing on the other side of that is coaches, you know, trying to keep them positive. I've been doing some virtual teaching with USAT level ones, and just being asked by a lot of coaches about how are you kind of keeping the boat afloat. And I know that some companies have had a hard time. Was talking with Leanda the other day, and you know, she said that they had let 10 coaches go. And that's a whole lot of people. And you know, it's an industry, it's a craft, but you know, you still need to pay the bills somehow. And it's hard when you are a new coach coming into something where there's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of people out there that are ready to jump in the boat. Much like it's finding clients is almost as hard as finding bike parts these days, you know.
Yeah, or weight equipment.
Oh,
home
yeah,
gym equipment.
Anything, yeah, anything that's you know, that seems to be athletic, like associated, seems to be difficult. But you know, hopefully, again, you know, the storm is. We're riding it out. You know, you plan for these things, and you know, with events coming up, we're going to see that happening. And you know, then Florida will open up, and you know, with you, you've had a good amount of time to focus, especially in your like a neo pro career here, which is still, you know, that has to be kind of still playing in your mind.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at the beginning of the pandemic, I went through the denial period that this isn't happening. It'll be fine. We'll be out of this in a couple months. And then I went through the acceptance phase the utter sadness phase, where I was very depressed. And I was really honestly questioning my decision.
Yeah.
because it kind of felt like this was going to go on forever. And I mean, it's, there's still days where it does. But I think I've finally come to the phase where I've reached the acceptance phase where it's accepting, you know, what's going on. And just, like I said earlier, just, you know, this isn't a bad time to really work on some weaknesses and without any interruptions. And some of that is kind of been honestly empowering. So I found kind of a new, I don't know, I wouldn't say enjoyment necessarily, but
would you say freedom?
Motivation.
Would you say there's some
freedom
there?
Yeah, a little
there?
Bit of freedom without all the racing, and I can just, you know, focus on improving, which I feel like, I mean, especially as a rookie, you have a lot of improvement to make. So
yeah,
it's not a bad thing, I don't think.
No, and I think that it is a great time to, you know, to focus on specific things. And like you said, without having any races, you can just kind of, if it's a lot like how, yeah, it's a lot like preparing an athlete for the games, right? For the Olympics, because if you're racing ITU and you're racing in that style and you're maybe somebody who's not, you know, an automatic starter, but you might be on a wait list, you have to kind of keep and maintain this certain high or high-ish level of fitness at all times, because you never really kind of know when you're going to race. You kind of have an idea of when you want to, but you don't know when you're going to. So that's kind of how this summer has had to go, but with no kind of like, you know, opportunity to get at a race, you know, for sure. But I see some, you know, I see some similarity there in how, you know, you address that mentally with athletes, how you kind of keep them going, keep them motivated. You have to make sure that, especially as a coach, that you're right there for them, talking them through, making sure that they have like kind of micro goals that they're working towards at this time. And I think it's a real test of everybody, not only just athletes, but also coaches, and to keep everybody kind of going straight forward and maybe progressing a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think too, as triathletes, most of us are all type A, and it's hard to get people to, you know, think outside of the triathlon bubble a bit and just kind of take joy in all of the things going on outside. Maybe it's baking a loaf of sourdough bread and perfecting that, or maybe it's getting into the garden, but you know, there's so much outside of triathlon and endurance sports in general. And I think maybe it was just a sign that we needed to take a little time, not necessarily for yourself, but for, you know, maybe something else, and just kind of recenter yourself. And I think that's, you know, another avenue we always think about grinding away and getting these sessions done. But also, I think taking time for maybe something else is also a very positive thing and a constructive thing.
Yeah, for sure. So have you learned to make sourdough bread this summer? Is that one of the things you're doing?
I have. I am still perfecting my loaf. I'm still on the dense side. I'm still looking to get more billowy.
Okay.
But I've been working on it now for about 2.5 months.
Interesting. What are the keys to success in sourdough?
I mean, it's all about the starter and the maturity of the starter. So mine's been going out for, like I said, like about 2.5 months, and it just keeps getting better each loaf.
Okay.
So it's patience. Also patience when you're letting the dough rise and working with the dough. I'm not the most patient person, so I feel like it's been really good for me. Kind of like gardening. We've gotten a little bit into gardening.
Nice.
So some of those things have been, I think, very beneficial.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's good to keep your, you know, keep your mind active, and it's fun to actually be able to do some of these things that we would not have been able to do, in a normal summertime, you know, it's a gift. You know, I had many times have actually thought, how will my kids remember this summer? Will they remember it as, you know, the summer that we had to leave our house, the summer that, you know, everything went bad, the summer we, you know, couldn't be in school? Or are they going to remember this as a summer like, wow, that was the summer we got to be, you know, at the lake house for the whole summer. And we, you know, that was the summer we got to, you know, go fishing and learn to wakeboard. Because that's one of the things the boys have learned over the last couple weeks.
Oh, is fun.
We've learned to wakeboard, which is a lot of fun to watch them do. Even though they had no interest in water skiing, one of our friends left a wakeboard up here. And they just kind of glommed onto it. You know, they're watching YouTube videos on how to get up and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, within like four tries, they're up and cruising around. And we've got some epic wipeout videos, by the way, too, of them just, you know, eating the lake face first. But it's, you know, I wonder how they're going to remember this. And, you know, that's I think as a father, that's been a worry of mine.
Yeah, I think it's so hard for kids these days. And I mean, I think it's just it would be so challenging to be a parent. Because you want them to find the positives of the situation and have things to remember. But, I mean, we all know it's also a very scary time. And it's, you know,
yeah,
it can be kind of crappy at times for everyone. So it's trying to be the cheerleader at all times if you're a parent, or, like, circling back to coaching, or, you know, an athlete. You have to be your own cheerleader. So.
Yep.
We're all just trying to find the positive.
Well, I think the answer to everything is just to get a pandemic puppy, because that seemed to fix all of our problems. We did get we got a dog.
Because you got Soda.
We did. We got Soda, who just went to the groomers for the very first time today, and now looks like a completely different dog. She looked like she went looking like an old Bob Marley comeback, looking like a, you know, like some Paris Hilton style dog, because, you know, she's so small. She's a Yorkie poo. And she smells like super perfumey, and she had a little pink bow in her hair. And now I'm like, I think she's a little angry at me now. Like, how dare you do this to me?
I've only taken Zoe to the groomer twice, and both times, me leaving, it was like dropping a toddler off at preschool for the first time. It was crying and yelping, and it went and went and went until I got out of the door. And then, of course, she was one of those dogs where the groomer was like, well, when you left, she did great. You know, she played with the other dogs.
How much of that do you believe is true, though?
Waggy.
Do you think that, how much of that is,
she
like...
She looked very, I don't know, she looked very happy and relaxed.
Okay.
When I picked her up. So, normally, if she's so in high anxiety anyways, but if I had picked her up and she was doing the nervous shaky thing, then I would be like, well, that was a lie. But
I was surprised we got a report card. Like when I picked Soda up, we got this little report card of how she did and what did. Yeah. It was like kind of crazy. I mean, maybe, I don't know if that's what normally you get. Do you get a report card when you get your dog back from the groomer? Or is it just unique to the one we went to?
I certainly haven't. That's unique.
Well, there you go.
My parents don't.
Well, there you go. But I was taken back a little bit by the fact that when I walked in, none of the staff had masks on. I was a little disappointed with that, you know, because I want to see people wearing masks, because I think that's good for everybody. Although I was listening to NPR today, and, you know, after the mask mandate has been in effect for 3 weeks here in Minnesota, they said they haven't seen a change in COVID infections, like not up or down. It's just kind of, it stayed the same.
Stable.
So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, if that's the answer or not the answer. You know, it's like, you know, no news is good news, maybe.
But, yeah, it's so hard to say these days. I'm happy I'm not a decision maker.
Oh, I know. I couldn't imagine working in a convenience store or a bank these days, because it seems like everybody who walks in is going to rob the place, which I'm also surprised.
Yeah.
I'm also surprised robberies haven't gone up, because, you know, how are you going to tell somebody wearing a mask who's not wearing a mask?
Yep.
You know, how would you know that? Like, it just seems like it would be, they would kind of go hand in hand, but, you know, thankfully they haven't. And, you know, that's like, you know, knock on wood for that one.
Yeah. We don't need any more bad energy. Bad things happening.
Yeah. Have you seen any movies or crushed any series over the last couple months?
We have been seriously crushing through Netflix series. We just finished The Last Dance about Michael Jordan.
Oh, so good.
On Netflix. Oh, it was so good. I like want to watch it over again.
Oh, it was so good.
We binge watched it in like 3 days. Oh, it was insane. It was so good.
Did you watch the Lance 30 for 30?
Yes, that was really good.
You know, I was completely disappointed by it.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, you know, so...
How so?
So here's it. I watched it because I wanted to hear other people talking. I've really had it up to here listening to Lance Armstrong about Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the doping anymore. It's about the fact that he was a complete dick. Like he went and he plenty of people went out and doped. Plenty of people did. Most people did.
But admitted it.
But he crushed people. Like he crushed Greg LeMond's company. He made Trek bikes dismiss or remove LeMond bikes from their business because he had a beef against them. You know, he went out and basically like sullied Betsy Andreu's name all over the place, and like never said really I'm sorry for it, and still hasn't really come back and said I'm sorry. And I don't like the fact that he's kind of out there and trying to get back into things. I just think that he dug his own hole, and I don't have time to listen to it or hear about it anymore. I don't really care about him. But what I did want to hear was I wanted to hear everybody else's story. I wanted to hear how they saw it. I didn't need to hear Lance like talking about Lance again, because at some point he gets a little bit defiant, like, hey, you know, I've done my time, so why not me? Well, you know what? Because you're like a next level jerk about things, and about a lot of things, and how, he thought he was, he couldn't be taken down, and I think that's not a champion. That's not a champion. Michael Jordan, and how he talked, he had the opportunity to really,
wow. Yeah.
And you thought, you looked at Jordan, and he talked about some of the beefs he had, and it really. He never really, took it to that level. He never kind of, dug him down. He talked about how they were rivals on the court, that he may have had, may have not liked him. Like, Isaiah Thomas is a great example of that. Like, he didn't go out and call Isaiah Thomas's wife's names. He didn't try and, make Isaiah Thomas not be a part of the Dream Team, which was a rumor for a long time.
He just used it on the court.
Exactly. And so those are
he took his energy out on the court.
Yeah. Two dynamically different, I think symbolisms of what a champion is. And I think that's probably why I was sick of seeing the Lance thing. I don't know.
I thought it was really interesting. You could just see that you could smell the ego coming out of the TV.
For sure.
So, but I mean, it was an interesting story. I've just been craving like athletic series or athletic documentaries or highlights, so that's been refreshing. I really missed the Olympics this summer.
Chris and I were
still looking forward to all summer long watching the Olympics. We like never turn the TV off.
Yep.
It's incredible. I will watch rhythmic gymnastics all day long. Anything like any event, I will watch it. I just think it's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sad to see it not here this summer, and I'm still hoping by next summer we can have that to look forward to and enjoy. My fingers are crossed.
Well, I as well, and hopefully Tokyo does come back, and if not, then we'll always have Paris in 2024. Looping back on your documentaries, two 30 for 30s that I watched, three 30 for 30s that I watched that I really, really, really like that I highly recommend, and one that I don't recommend. One that I don't recommend is the Brian Bosworth one. I thought that was sort of boring. Ones that I do recommend, the Andre the Giant one, the wrestler, the document on Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Like maybe one of the most gentle people on the planet ever. And I think it really captures that really well. Again, on the wrestling front, the Ric Flair story, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Huh.
Talking yeah. about how a like a persona overtook him and like how it essentially ruined his life. Like he became a character and then believed he was that character, and it like essentially ruined him. Although he is still like seen as an iconic figure. But it was interesting to see how they compare and contrast interviews they had of him over time, and how he begins to like understand and reflect back on that. So those were really good ones. But one outside of wrestling is I Hate Christian Laettner, and it's about it's a documentary about Christian Laettner and why everybody hates him, you know. And I thought it was and I would be interested to know if watching the documentary if it does change your mind on. You know, what you think about it, because that's what my brother-in-law told me to watch. And he's like, I want to know, did this change your perception of Christian Laettner? And it kind of did, you know, because I was never a Christian Laettner fan. And, yeah. you know, I kind of grew up in his time. And I thought, you know, he's a pompous little D-bag. But I really kind of got some empathy out of it for him. And I think those are...
Now, for people who don't know maybe who Christian Laettner is, can you elaborate?
So Christian Laettner was on the Dream Team. He was a basketball player, professional basketball player. I think he ended up playing for the Mavericks at the end. But he won he played for Duke, and he was kind of perceived as being like a pretty boy, but also a whiner. And he had the reputation of privilege, especially in college ball. And he was a little bit of a jerk and appeared. And I think that was like, it was played up. And I think he played it up as well. Like he kind of played the villain. Like he was like the pretty boy that you didn't want to see, you know, win. 'Cause he had like, you know, the golden touch. But it really kind of gave the backstory about when he saw that and how he realized that he was never going to be able to turn that around, and he kind of played it up to his advantage. But really a good story about that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out then. I'll put that on my list.
Also start watching the Doctor Who TV show. You ever watch Doctor Who?
My parents have ripped through that. They loved it.
Oh, it's so good. Now I'm watching season 11 right now, which is the one where they have the female doctor. And I keep thinking this is like K-3PO's jam, that this is something that he would totally, he would totally like, you know, binge through in a week.
Yeah. What is he currently? Well, he's catching up on Walking Dead. He was very behind on that.
Oh, and that's coming back.
Catching up on that. It is. Yep. And we also like Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, Fear is so good too.
Fear is very good. So we've watched that. I'm trying to think what else we've watched on Netflix lately that has been particularly fantastic. I have to admit, Chris will not watch it with me, but I've gotten into Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset?
It's about real estate, sort of. But okay. It's a group of female real estate agents out in LA. If you like any Bravo Housewife TV shows, you will love Selling Sunset. It's very overly dramatized. It's something that you fold your laundry to and you just listen to them bicker.
Gotcha.
So
I can't
Chris
stand...
always refers them to as my stories.
Yeah.
But,
this is your Young and the Restless. Is that what that's what he's saying?
Yep, exactly. Yep, it's my laundry folding, dishes doing TV show. So it's entertaining.
I have a hard time like kind of getting into those things. I usually watch TV or movies to escape. And that's kind of one thing where I'm like, why do I want to watch people yelling at each other? It just doesn't, you know, for me, that doesn't really do it. And maybe that's why I went to the Doctor Who. We did crush Ozark as well. Have you seen Ozark?
Oh, isn't it good? Oh, we did that so fast
good.
Too.
So good.
That was excellent. We finished that about a month ago, I want to say.
Yeah, and they're
fantastic.
They got re-upped for a fourth and final season. So
I saw that.
The Bird Clan will hopefully be coming back from Mexico. Because, man, I'll tell you, the ending was like, what? That really kind of took.
And yeah.
I'm not gonna spoiler it, but it was the ending was like, whoa, and it was right up there with the ending of every other season too. They kind of did the same thing.
All of them were bomb drops. And the other one, it's not a happy show or docuseries, but the Jeffrey Epstein docuseries, Filthy Rich.
Oh yeah.
Very interesting. Scary. I've gone down the rabbit hole of researching conspiracy theories. It's insane. It's worth a watch, but it's creepy. Very, very, very creepy and dark. So if you want to escape, it's probably not the show for you.
Wow. Jill's on these crime dramas. She listens when she cooks, she's at home and she's listening to these the NBC crime dramas.
She
would
love it. And the unsolved mysteries she'd love on.
Yep, she listens
Netflix
to those
too.
Well, she listens to she listens like to the podcast versions of those. And she, it's all about those.
She listens to Serial.
Yep. Yep.
By chance. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
There was one in that series called Root of Evil, which we listened to, which I really really liked, and it was about the backstory of the family. It's surrounding the Black Dahlia murder in LA.
Oh.
And about essentially they say this is the guy who did it and this is his family, and the connection to like the band, the Mamas and the Papas, is like kind of crazy, and the like how like totally messed up these people are that were, that were involved in this and their families and this kind of like cult lifestyle in Los Angeles, in the 60s and the 70s. It is really, really, really good. It's called Root of Evil. There was a short-lived TV show kind of surrounding it with Chris Pine in it. Do you know who Chris Pine is?
Oh, of course.
Of course you do. I got a crush on this guy. I mean, not only as like, as Kirk, as Captain Kirk, but I like
from
him.
Star Trek, yeah.
But I like him in the Wonder Woman movie too. I thought he was really good in that.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, I still haven't seen the second one of those. I don't know how they bring him back because I think he died in the first one. But, Root of Evil would be a good one. You'd like that one too.
Yeah, that's another thing I've been doing a lot these days is finding good podcasts to listen to. Unfortunately, mine are very boring. There are a lot of NPR, like politics or news podcasts. So,
just tell them to be better.
Nothing exciting to report. However, a comedian that I follow, and some of the women who listen to this podcast might know her or love her. Her name is Heather McMahon. Her podcast is absolutely a riot, and it comes out every Wednesday. But I listen to that religiously every Wednesday, and it always makes me chuckle.
Oh, so that's good.
If you want something lighthearted and fun.
What's her name again?
NPR podcast, Heather McMahon.
Heather McMahon. Have you ever heard of the comedian Tig Notaro?
I have, but doesn't she do a podcast?
She does.
I think Chris has listened to a few of these.
And it's because
he really likes her.
Yeah, she is notorious for being completely unaware of who people are. So so she has her producers will bring somebody on some person, Carol Burnett, or not that, but somebody on that you like everybody should know, and she has no idea who they are. So she gets like, I think it's 20 questions to try and figure out who the person is and where they're from.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Like she wouldn't know Tom Cruise. And that's like, what? How do you not know her? Or know Tom Cruise? But it's a good one. I think it's called like who the heck are you or something like that.
Look for that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Tig Notaro. She's pretty funny. Her stand-up routine is actually also pretty epic. The one that got
seen her stand up. It's very good.
Yeah, what kind of broke her through? Because she's a cancer survivor. There's a good backstory there.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah.
And she had some real, was it sepsis or she had some like internal disease that was that came from that, where she where her body was like eating itself from the inside out, and she got super super thin. Yeah, she was really really strange. She's a pretty funny person, very dry sense of humor, but very funny. So you got that.
Very funny.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. So what are the next couple of weeks bringing you? What are you going to be doing here as the summer starts to close down and you don't get to go to the
summer
state fair?
Well, nothing super exciting on our front. Pretty much just staying home. We are making a very exciting trip to the St. Paul Farmers Market this weekend that we're looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Are your festivities that you had planned for the fall still on?
For our wedding?
Yes, I wasn't going to, I didn't want to bleed it out there. Are those?
It's been interesting. We ended up having to move it to Minnesota. So we've moved our day. We're doing a micro wedding in Minnesota, in my parents' backyard, actually. We're going to keep the date, do it all outside, and just have our close family and just a couple friends and call it a day. We want to keep everyone closer to home, keep everyone safe. We didn't really want to push it out another year, not knowing what next year looks like.
Plus, you need the tax write-off. You need the tax benefit for the both of you being together.
We do.
You've been doing all the work. You might as well get the benefit of it.
Right? Yeah, I think so too.
Well,
our insurance plan.
So, we have like I know at home we still have your save the date and the invitation on our wall. I'm not sure if that's still valid, but if it is, you can let me know at a later time. I'm not going to force you to commit to anything here while we're recording, but just letting you know that we had toyed with the idea of coming out. That was obviously
pre-quarantine. Yeah, I'm so sad. Everyone was looking forward to it, and it just, it was just one of those things, and we rode waves of emotions dealing with that. It was very stressful, but I think we can be dealing with much, much worse these days, so yeah. I think that's inevitably what brought us back down to earth.
Well, there you go. You know, thinking forward here too, we touched on this real early where I talked about the bunkhouse that I've been building, which is, meant to house a larger number of people. Looking at next year, Gabby, I think we should put a camp on up here in Grand Rapids. We got the lake. We have the Tioga mountain bike recreation area. We have plenty of roads and plenty of trails for running. And I think we could put on a pretty decent camp here, you and me.
Yeah, I think that could be really neat. I have not been up there.
But
it looks, from your photos, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, we have everything that we need, that I think people would want to have. And now we have, with that, even like a place for people to stay. So it wouldn't be like, where we're going to have 50 people out here. I think we would be very select on who we'd want to have. And I think we could do some really, really good work there.
That would be fun and something to look forward to.
Absolutely something to look forward to. So let's just let's put that out there and let's start talking about that. That's going to happen.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Because I think we need to have that kind of ray of sunshine out there, that ray of hope of what we're going to do new on the other side of this. What are we going to do? And how is COVID-19 going to make us better? How are we going to be better on the other side of this? We didn't just, we just didn't tread water. No, we learned a backstroke. We knew learn to flip turn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was reaching on that. I think because we kind of knew how to do that. So, but that's I think that would be something fun and big that we can do on the other side.
Awesome.
All right.
People can look forward to that. Well, good.
There you go. There's our little ray of hope.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna call it a day for us here. I got to go make dinner for the kids, and because they don't feed themselves these days, and if they do, it's just chicken nuggets and corn dogs, and it's just terrible.
Oh dear.
I know. So I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to, because we're coming back to the cities, and so I'll have a much better chance of maybe even getting out and just riding side by side at some point in time, just to be a little bit more social. But still distance, but at least, you know, kind of eyeball to eyeball and not just over the phone or through the FaceTime. So
absolutely.
So I'd like to be able to do that before the snow flies, because, you know, winter is coming.
Oh, I know, it'll be here before we know it, but I'm trying to not think about that at the moment.
Yeah, well, let's keep. I'm waiting for the frost warnings to happen up here, because it's been getting down into the 40s at night. So it's cold. But it's nice, you know. You get up and you put on the fire, and you know, you got a sweatshirt on and jammies, and it's comfortable. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Cool. So we'll stay warm. We won't. We'll try and maximize the summer as much as we can, and we'll just kind of play it safe and keep stay healthy.
Absolutely.
All right.
Stay healthy, everyone.
Yep, definitely. Once again, thanks everybody for listening. Remember, we still have those awesome Be Better Podcast t-shirts that you can get on the Final K website. If you want to get a hold of Gabby, if you want to get a hold of myself, we have our contact information there also on the FinalK.com website. Give us a call. Give us an email. You know, let us know how we can help you and get ready for 2021 and just kind of, you know, make the most of what you're doing now. No better time than the present. Go back and crush some old episodes. I know that I just listened the other day to Julian's birthday one. Lots of stuff to listen to and see out there. Gabby, can't thank you enough for being a part of this, still staying with me and not abandoning me in a time of crisis.
Absolutely. We stick together.
Like birds of a feather. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Take care and be safe.